CD5.
Several thousand miles away, at almost the same moment as Anathema was staring at her spirals, the pleasure cruiser Morbilli was aground in 300 fathoms of water. For Captain Vincent, this was just another problem. For example, he knew he should contact the owners, but he never knew from day to day, or from hour to hour, in this computerized world, actually who the current owners were. Computers. That was the bloody trouble. The ship's papers were computerized, and it could switch to the most currently advantageous flag of convenience in microseconds. Its navigation had been computerized as well, constantly updating its position by satellites. Captain Vincent had explained patiently to the owners, whoever they were, that several hundred square miles of steel plating and a barrel of rivets would be a better investment, and had been informed that his recommendation did not accord with current cost-benefit flow predictions. Captain Vincent strongly suspected that despite all its electronics, the ship was worth more sunk than afloat, and would probably go down as the most perfectly pinpointed wreck in nautical history. By inference, this also meant that he was more valuable dead than alive. He sat at his desk, quietly leafing through International Maritime Codes, whose 600 pages contained brief yet pregnant messages designed to transmit the news of every conceivable nautical eventuality across the world with the minimum of confusion and, above all, cost. What he wanted to say was this. Was sailing SSW at position 33 degrees north, 47 degrees, 72 minutes west, first mate, who you may recall was appointed in New Guinea against my wishes, and is probably a headhunter, indicated by signs that something was amiss? It appears that quite a vast expanse of seabed has risen up in the night. It contains a large number of buildings, many of which appeared pyramid-like in structure. We are aground in the courtyard of one of these. There are some rather unpleasant statues. Amiable old men in long robes and diving helmets have come aboard the ship and are mingling happily with the passengers, who think we organised this. Please advise. His questing finger moved slowly down the page and stopped. Good old International Codes. They'd been devised 80 years before, but the men in those days had really thought hard about the kind of perils that might possibly be encountered on the deep. He picked up his pen and wrote down XXXVQVVX. Translated, it meant, "Have found lost continent of Atlantis, High Priest has just won quoits contest."
"It jolly well isn't. It jolly well is. It isn't, you know. It jolly well is. It isn't. All right, then. What about volcanoes?"
Wensleydale sat back, a look of triumph on his face.
"What about 'em?" said Adam. "All that lava comes up from the centre of the earth where it's all hot," said Wensleydale. "I saw a programme. It had David Attenborough, so it's true."
The other them looked at Adam. It was like watching a tennis match. The hollow earth theory was not going over well in the quarry. A beguiling idea that had stood up to the probings of such remarkable thinkers as Cyrus Reed Teed, Bulwer Lytton and Adolf Hitler was bending dangerously in the wind of Wensleydale's searingly bespectacled logic.
"I didn't say it was hollow all the way through," said Adam. "No one said it was hollow all the way through. It probably goes down miles and miles to make room for all the lather and oil and coal and Tibetan tunnels and such like. But then it's hollow after that. That's what people think. And there's a hole at the North Pole to let the air in."
"Never seen it on the Atlas," sniffed Wensleydale. "The government won't let them put it on the map in case people go and have a look in," said Adam.
"The reason being, the people living inside don't want people looking down on them all the time."
"What do you mean Tibetan tunnels?" said Pepper.
"You said Tibetan tunnels."
"Ah, didn't I tell you about them?" Three heads shook.
"It's amazing. You know Tibet?"
They nodded doubtfully. A series of images had risen up in their mind. Yaks, Mount Everest, people called Grasshopper, little old men sitting on mountains, other people learning kung fu in ancient temples, and snow.
"Well, you know all those teachers that left Atlantis when it sunk?"
They nodded again.
"Well, some of them went to Tibet, and now they run the world. They're called the Secret Masters, on account of being teachers, I suppose. And they've got this secret underground city called Shambhala, and tunnels that go all over the world so they know everything that goes on and control everything. Some people reckon that they really live under the Gobi Desert," he added loftily, "but most competent authorities reckon it's Tibet all right. Better for the tunnelling, anyway."
The them